I met Dave a long time ago, and he and I, among probably 20-something other people, used to go to an elderly lady's home here in Richland to pray. And her name was Louise Bosket, and she was the most fantastic lady. And I think she had prayer meetings in her house for like 50 years, praying for revival, and it was usually or very often mixed churches. So back when I was a Baptist pastor, I used to sneak over to this meeting. It was like once or twice a month on a Tuesday night, I think. And I met Dave, and Dave used to pull me aside after the meetings and try to explain things to me. It was hilarious. And he tried to get me all fired up about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's doing. He didn't like those mind-blinding devils at all. He used to talk a lot about those, and I used to be quite entertained by that. Anyway, over the years, we kept landing in that meeting, and he also was at another community-wide prayer meeting I used to go to on Saturday mornings for quite some time. And eventually, when we planted our church here, Dave and Sherry came very soon after we got the church planted. Dave has graciously Dave and Sherry have served as home group leaders for years here. He's helped me in the pulpit when I take time off. Sherry has been Pam's children's ministry since we started here, I think. It's about in this church, this building anyway. Sherry also heads up our women's ministry. Dave and Sherry are elders in training, and we hope to be able to remove that label soon. We're going to have another couple ordained here first, which will be Brian and Pauline soon. They are also elders in training. So anyway, Dave and Sherry have been real helps to us over the years and very encouraging all that time. So now, would you give Dave a hand?
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Steve. You've been very gracious. It's a pleasure to be here. Let's pray. Father, we're your sons and we're your daughters. Lord, you're trying to draw us deeper into your heart, that we would get to know you and your great love. So, Lord, we ask that your word and your message today, Lord, would touch hearts. Lord, you'd stir us up. I pray, Holy Spirit, that's in each one of us, would be stirred up right now. I just pray that, God, you'd begin to stir us. You'd begin to let us know today that you love us, you're for us, your nature is love, and today, Lord, we'd walk out of here a little closer to you and learning to love you the way you love us and the ones you don't love yet, Lord, that you're drawing to yourself, that you're trying to get to come to you, Lord. The lost all around us, everywhere, you love them, but Lord, they don't know you. And we're looking for the lost. We're thankful, Lord, that at one time all of us in this room were lost. And you drew us to you, and you raised us up, Lord. We're thankful for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. The reality of what I believe God's in the process of doing is he's teaching us. He's trying to get us to know his ways. A lot of us were raised in the church, and we didn't learn a lot about his ways years ago. We learned a lot about God. We didn't learn much about him. And as I believe in this time we're in, we're in a time where the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. I believe we're living in that time. So there is an interesting thing going to happen, because people that I believe are being drawn to God, the lost, as we walk through the neighborhoods, as we meet people in our jobs, as we run around in circles, and people, you run into people, say, I'm an atheist, I'm this, I'm that, I'm every other thing. Do you know God? And we don't, and a lot of us have said, well, if to know God, you've got to get involved in a religious church. Well, unfortunately, we've had quite a few years of that, and hasn't produced much life. And I believe we're in a time where God's in the life business. He is absolutely 100% in the life business. He wants to see the dead ones in their spirit come to life. He's tired of a bunch of people trying to get people to conform to man's ways and not God's ways. And I really believe, as I kind of follow what's going on with the men, the prophets and the people we read and study about, that's where they're going. I mean, we're going to have a home group, God Revealed by Graham Cook. And the reason why we're going to do it is because in this book, Graham Cook, who I've been around a long time, what's happening is these guys are changing. Bob Jones just went home to heaven, but Bob Jones talked about this for years and years and years. And I think guys like Rick Joyner, Mike Bickle, John Paul Jackson, these guys that have lived and learned and walked in God's ways are inviting the church to come and know his ways, because God's in the life business. He's not in the religious business. God is not religious. He, in fact, hates religion. Did you know that? There is the religious ones that put him on the hook, put Jesus on the cross. God's in the life business. And we have to get a different picture now today, those of us that have walked with the Lord, because we were kind of raised, a lot of us were raised in a religious system. I was personally raised in a Lutheran religious system. And fortunately, now I was younger, I kind of said, no, I'm going to go after the Spirit of God, and we've kind of lived that way for many years. So anyway, in your Bibles, I want to turn to Isaiah 55:8-9, and this is the deal. We have to learn the ways of the Lord, and it's, you know, what's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you everything, because his ways are not our ways. Well, first of all, we'll go to Isaiah 2:3. You ready? And many people shall come and say, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. 55:8-9 says, 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, thus saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's the thoughts, it's the ways, it's the way we look at it. And God is a spirit, right? God's a spirit. He is a spirit. He's not religious. He is a spirit. In the Old Testament, you know, you think about the Old Testament. God was hoping that the people, his people, the Israelites, would come into an intimate relationship with him. He waited thousands of years for that to happen. They never did it. They developed the law. They followed the law, lived the law. They lived under goodness, doing it right and doing the law. But God always wanted this people that could become intimates of him, with him, know him, walk with him, understand him, really, really love him as he loved them, because God is love, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, God is love. God's in the love business because he is love. And the reality is, they didn't want to get near him. Only a handful of men in the whole Bible, in the Old Testament, got near him. Probably more than a handful. But guess what? Those that got near him, Moses, David, Samuel, all those guys, what happened to them? They got touched by the Spirit of God, didn't they? And it radically changed their lives. But they were in a culture that was afraid of God. Jesus came along as a second Adam so that you and I could have relationship with our God. Well, to have a relationship with our God, guess what we have to do? We're going to have to know our God. We have got to know our God. And so many people today, because they don't understand that the Holy Spirit is the teacher of who God is. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. Now you take a culture that has rejected pretty much most of the Holy Spirit. You take a culture today that we have worldwide that has rejected the Holy Spirit, said, I've got it all. I don't need it. That's for all them crazy charismatics. Right? You're a crazy charismatics, you know. You know, stay away from me, man. Keep out of my face. I grew up in the vineyard. Guess what we were called? The crazy charismatics. And what we learned was that God was in the process of bringing a people that were the intimates of Him, that would know Him, love Him, walk with Him, and understand Him, and He would teach them their ways. He would literally, like it says in Ephesians 1:15, Paul prayed that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation would fall on us so that our hearts would be flooded with light so that we could know the deep and the secret mysteries of God. Why does God want to reveal the deep and secret mysteries of who He is? That's His desire. We got saved not to get to heaven. We got saved so we can know our God. Did you know that? Do you believe that? You didn't get saved just to get to heaven. You got saved so you can know your God. You can't know your God unless your spirit is born again. Can you? You can't know Him in your brain. You can't know Him in your mind. You have to know Him in your spirit. That's why He gave you a spirit. And you and I are the ones that have to understand this, walk in it, and begin to give that life and that light away. Right? One of my favorite sayings, and I preached it for years, is that is what you signed up for. To know your God and give Him away. The life and the light of Jesus that is in us should be resonating so powerfully through us wherever we go, it shines. Steve's been talking about this for quite a while now. Is it just something he just thought up? No, because it's what's going on in the church. As God is pouring out His Spirit on the church, guess what's going to happen? There's a new awakening coming. How many realize and believe we need a new awakening? We need revival. We need refreshing. We need life. We need light. We need to go and give it away to folks. Whether it's at CR, whether it's in the prisons, whether it's on the streets, whether it's out in the neighborhoods, whether it's on our jobs. See, we have to take this life and this light into our jobs and wherever we go and give it away. Right? What are you going to do? We got so many people going to church warming pews that says, well, let the pastors and let the leaders do it. Baloney. It's time we got up and done it. And this church is a wonderful church. Karen and I were talking about it this morning. This church is an amazing church. You know why? Because most of the people that come here are interested in getting with it, getting involved. They're not interested in, most of the folks I know here have come from other places, and they're excited about getting going with God. We got a whole bunch that hang out on Wednesday night. They're getting excited about it. Why? Because once you take your faith and you begin to risk it and you begin to walk with your God and know your God and understand His ways, guess what happens? You can see the life it produces. You can touch people's lives. Did you realize God designed us to touch people's lives? Is it going to be confronting? Oh, yeah. You're going to run into a few atheists? Oh, yeah. You're going to run into a few people that are involved in witchcraft? Well, sure you are. So what? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? You know that old scripture? They had that in the Baptist church, you know. Greater is he that is in you than he was in the world. You got it in you. You got the Spirit of the living God in you to the degree you pursue the Spirit. Why would you want to pursue the Holy Spirit? Why would you want to know the ways of the Holy Spirit? Because the ways of the Holy Spirit reveal who the Father is. I don't know if you understand that. The Holy Spirit is not just speaking in tongues and doing a bunch of stuff. The Holy Spirit teaches us who our Father is. We would know His ways and walk in His ways, understand His ways. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within us accomplishes, is love. Love, 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 love. You know, we're doing this, going to do this Graham Cook book. And he's, it's going to be kind of interesting because he wrote something here about Graham Cook. Or Graham Cook wrote this thing about God. I'll read it to you. He is the kindest person I've ever known. Right? Well, I think kindness isn't kind. Let me see, the fruit of the Father. Patience, peace, kindness. Oh, he is the kindness. Did you know that love and kindness and patience and peace and the fruit of the Spirit are all hooked together? They're all hooked together. This is the kind of heart God's got. It is actually disreputable and to the religious-minded person. The religious-minded person can't understand this kindness, this outrageousness of who this kind God is. They don't get it. But we do, because we have the Holy Spirit in power. Most of the folks in here are interested in knowing the Holy Spirit and going after Him. And we're going to have to go after the Holy Spirit. You know, if you don't spend any time with the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss who your God is. Like old Bob Jones said, we went to a meeting in Yakima, I don't know, about 10 years ago. Bob Jones, bless his heart, he said, if you think you're working for God, you're fired. I mean, we had pastors and leaders that were like, I don't know, 500-600 people in there. Well, they said, what do you mean we're fired? You can't work for God. You have to learn to love Him and do what you do out of your heart for Him. That's what He's doing. It doesn't mean you don't help out and don't do stuff, but it means your whole attitude is changed why you do anything. You'll do it because it's what He put in your heart. You love who He is so much, you'll do it. And you don't need one attaboy. You don't need one attaboy. You do it in the heart of humility. Oh, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit too, isn't it? I'll keep going. He is the happiest person I know. He has the sunniest disposition. Is the God you know the happiest person you know? Is He full of joy? Well, joy happens to be one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy. He's joyful. He's happy. Are we joyful and are we happy? Huh? That's the way of our Father, isn't it? Love is a way, joy is a way. I'll keep going. He is enthusiastically fervent in His pursuit of us. Anybody here try to run away from God? Huh? How many have tried to run away from God? I've got a couple of hands, honest ones, you know. Do you think God's going to let you run away? I'm telling you, He's going to come after you. We've got a whole bunch in this room that have tried to run away, and God's brought them back, hasn't He? And guess what's happened to them when they've come back? They've gotten their hearts healed. Right? Healed. Amen. Healed hearts. That's what CR's done. Other things have done. God's in that business. He is amazingly humble, gentle, but He is also a powerful warrior king who loves to fight and who laughs at his enemies. Do you know that God? Yeah, we know that God. We definitely know that one, don't we? That's the way of God, the ways. See, you and I got to learn his ways. We have to learn the way of the Spirit, and the ways of the Spirit is what his heart is about, because guess what? We cannot forget that God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's right. He told that to the woman at the well. He didn't reveal that to any religious leader, any Pharisee. In fact, he didn't even reveal that to the disciples. He revealed that to a woman at the well in John chapter 4. We must worship our God in spirit and in truth, because he is a spirit and he has to be worshiped. And guess what? He's putting a desire in our heart to love to worship him. We've got to love to worship our God. Amen? He has a fabulous servant spirit, needing no title, no status, no position, but joyfully sets an example of simple, heartwarming slavery. Does it warm your heart to do stuff for God? Yeah, it does. Really does. And we got some of the greatest people in this room that serve the Lord, and they do it quietly, humbly, and God has blessed them and blessed us mightily. It's amazing. You know, you need something done around here, there's usually somebody that's willing to help and do it. Why? Because they know that's what's on God's heart. God's heart. Why? Because we're people after him. His love is enthralling. It captivates and commands us to be the same. His love is enthralling. It captivates and commands us to be the same. We have got to be passionately in love with our God so we can love what our God loves. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Each and every one of us in this room at one time were not born again and didn't know our God. He drew us, he saved us. And what I, you know, one of the interesting things about going into prisons is a lot of men in prison get saved and they become loners with God. They won't reach out to other men. You know why? Because they don't know love. But when they begin to learn love, then they'll reach out. As we begin to walk in and know this great love, guess what will happen? We'll continually reach out to people because we have to get them. And our prayers really got to go there. He loves being trusted, is delighted and astonished when we use our faith. Did you know God loves it? Loves that? When you take that risk and use your faith, guess what God gets? He gets excited. Right? Because he gave you the faith. Because he knows he gave you the faith, so guess what happens? If you use the faith, guess what? He's happy. He gets happy. But if you don't use your faith, guess what? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, it says in Hebrews, right? So he gives us this faith. He wants us to use this faith, walk in this faith, and guess where the faith has got to be used? In the relationship business. The other thing about in Jesus in John chapter 14, Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip says, show me the Father. Jesus said, look, I am in the Father, the Father's in me. But if you don't believe that, at least believe the works I did. And see, the problem is a lot of us today, where are the works? In a lot of places, they don't have any works of what the Father, or what Jesus does. Here we do. We see all kinds of good things happen. Because we believe in healing. We believe in the presence of God. We believe in God touching people's hearts. But in a lot of places, they don't see it. Well, those boys had a tough time too. You know why? Because they were used to the Father doing the miracles, parting the Red Sea. They heard all the stories for 2,000 years. They come in and run into Jesus, and guess what kind of stuff Jesus was doing? He wasn't parting the Red Sea. He wasn't doing, calling fire down and doing all this, that, or the other thing. Guess what he was doing? All his healings and miracles happened in the relationship and the healing of people. People. Jesus was in the people business, and he was trying to get them to look at the people. We're not going to build a kingdom and bail your hide out of here when the Romans come. We're in the people business. And you and I are called to be in the people business, the life business. And Jesus tried to get them to understand it. Did they understand it? I think they understood it when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 45 days later. Yeah, they got it, but it took. Jesus told them over and over, it took a while for them to get it. We got to get it now, don't we? Well, I'm too old. You're not too old. Are you too old to pray and get on your knees before your God? No. Are you too old to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac? No, you're not. Nobody's too old. I'm too young. I got to go to seminary. I got to do this. Baloney. Get in the presence of your God, and guess what will happen to you? Your life will change. We'll talk about that in a minute. The other thing is, he will never keep a record of our sins or failings. Whoa. God doesn't keep a record, does he? That's his way. His way is not to keep records. The way of the religious system and the way of the past holds us to the resentments of the past. Amen? And when you hold on to resentment, guess what happens to your forgiveness prayer? They don't work. They do not work. When you say you forgive somebody, you're going to have to get rid of the resentment that was behind the unforgiveness, right? We got to learn to get over the past and what people have done and all the pain and all the stuff, don't we? You can't hang on to that stuff because it hinders your prayer life. It hinders it. God hears your prayer, but guess what? He says, if you don't forgive those, you can pray to me until you're blue in the face, but I won't forgive you. And so guess what happens to those people? It's an amazing thing. They're living on the prayers of somebody else who is able to go to the Father in prayer and has access because they don't have any of that junk in their heart. This is what love does. Love, and by the way, this, if you read this, this is, he will never keep records of our sins or failings. Where is that? The love book. What's the love book? Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Read it. Study it. Mentor. Meditate on it. Ask God to reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit will literally show you what love is if you will look at that book and study it and ask God, show me how to love. Show me how to love. Show me how to love. We got to learn that. He has mercy that can never be properly understood or articulated, just experience. Anybody in here experience God's mercy? We got three or four hands. Come on. The whole place had to, you guys all have had to experience his mercy. Come on. You say you haven't? Yeah, you have. You just probably didn't know what it was. The only way we can explain mercy is by being merciful ourselves. Are we full of mercy? Do you know the way of mercy? The way of mercy. Jesus the Redeemer gives us value in the eyes of the Father. All things are complete in Jesus, and guess what? The Father looks at us through Jesus. All things are in Jesus. The Father can't look upon us without Jesus, but he does look upon us with Jesus. And we got to realize our Father loves us that much that he sent Jesus to the cross so this mercy, this kindness, this meekness, this gentleness, this love, this joy, this peace can be part of our lives. It's a spirit thing. It's not up here. It's in your heart. The Holy Spirit is here today. He's living in the temples. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit where God chose to dwell. Where does he dwell? Right here. Right here. And he's looking for us to produce this, Galatians 5:22. He sees and speaks our potential. He both protects us, releases us to fulfill all that he wants us to see and know about ourselves. Amen. God wants you to know and deal with yourself in a realistic way. That's what he's about. And what we're really trying to do is sometimes avoid that. Don't avoid it. Embrace it. Become who you are. Because guess what? That's who God created. He created you to be the temple. He created you and desired. God's desire for each and every Christian is to know him. Once you are on the path to knowing him, then guess what he'll do? He'll figure out something for you to do, where to go, whatever. But most people want to say, God called me to do this without even knowing him, because it sounds good. Well, there been a few mistakes in that program. Amen? Now, question is, what does it take to know the ways of God? What does it take? Number one, I believe it takes prayer. Prayer is the key to knowing your God. Prayer. You have saying prayers. You say your prayers. You have praying prayers. But Psalms 109:4 says, I, David, became prayer. There's three levels of prayer. I became prayer. Why? Because it had to become part of his heart, because the enemy was coming after him. The accuser of the brethren, the accusers. Steve talked about the accuser of the brethren. That's a powerful thing, knowing about the accuser. Because he's going to accuse us all the day and night before God, because he may have access. Well, sometimes you got to get heavily into the prayer program. You become the prayer. You become the prayer for some. Is there something so desperate in your life you want, you may have to become the prayer. You're going to have to go for it. That means you're going to have to wait on your God. Wait. Wait. Wait in America is a word of the old timers, because nobody wants to wait. Wait on God? You mean I might have to wait? I tell the guys in prison, I said, you guys got nothing to do in here. Do you know how to wait? They don't know how to wait in there. Well, do we know how to wait out here? No. How many times can you wait? How many times, think about this, you would go wait on your God, you wouldn't take your phone, you wouldn't take your iPad, you wouldn't take anything and go wait on your God. Nothing. Sit and wait for him. How long could you do it? You ever thought about that? 5 minutes? 10? 2? Can you sit and wait on God for an hour? Just wait for God. He's your Father. I just read you a list of what he's about, and he loves you so much, yet we won't wait. Something's wrong with that picture, isn't it? I'm too busy. I've had people say, I'm way too busy. You're too busy. You don't understand. I can't do that. I work 10, 12 hours a day. I do this, I do that. You haven't got an hour for God? Look at Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do, or what he's doing. What did he do? How did he find out what to do? He loved his Father. What did he do? He waited, spent time with his Father, and then he did what his Father told him to do. You and I, that's unheard of, except for a few crazy intercessors. Wait? What does it say in Matthew 6? Go into your closet, shut the door, and wait for your Father who will come to you in secret. Don't you want to wait for him? Huh? We all want God to bless us and give us and take care of us and do all the stuff, yet we won't wait for him. And his word specifically says, go wait for him. You want to know his ways? You're going to have to do some stuff, aren't you? See, to know his ways, God is going to actually hold us accountable to know his ways and the way he wants us to do it. Why did he set up prayer, watching, waiting, praise, worship, word? Why? Why did he give us the word? Why did he give us, why does he want us to praise him and worship him? Why does he want us to watch? Why does he want us to wait? Because you know what God's really, really interested in? He's interested in the relationship. How many of you realize that it takes time to build a relationship? Those of us that are married, it takes a lot of time to build that relationship. It takes time. It takes energy. If you're learning a job and you are learning a new job, does it take time to learn that job? Yeah, it does. But you're willing to do it because of the reward. It's the reward. Is waiting on your God and getting to know your God reward enough for us? Or are we looking for something else? I just throw it out there. Because I see a lot of people that are, well, I don't know. I got something else to do today. Waiting, worship, word, the word, the word. Meditate on the word. It says in Isaiah 66:2 that we are to tremble at the word. Tremble. There should be, when we read the word, our spirit should tremble. It's not just a book, it's life. And it's designed to bring life into us. The word will challenge us. When you read the word, does it challenge you? The Spirit of God on the word should just stir us up and cause us to think about what he's up to. Shouldn't it? The word has to be alive in us. We have to become, when we meditate on it, we have to eat the word, then we have to do the word. Right? If you read the word, you don't do anything it says to do. Why read it? Huh? It's like reading a novel. You know what I mean? Oh, it's great. Good story. People talk about the stories in the Bible. If they actually knew the author, they knew the spirit, they walked with God, they would understand that it's just not a storybook. It's a life book. Do you want more life? Look at the word from a whole different aspect, that it is designed by God to bring us life, to feed our spirit so much, and it is so important in our lives. Well, I didn't go to seminary, so I guess I don't know the word. Well, yeah, I do. I've been reading it for a long time, but I read it and I eat it. It takes a while to eat it. But I believe what it says. And see, once the word gets in your spirit, once the word of God is in your spirit, guess what happens? It will never leave, and you'll always think about it because it's always there. It's there. And you can speak it into people's lives on a moment's notice. Can't you? Yeah, it'll get you. Is it convicting? Will it convict you? Yes, it will. But there's a whole bunch of people that just say, well, I read it. My question is, do you want to do it? Are you going to do it? But are you going to be a doer of the word? We have to love the word. Intercession. I believe all of us are called to be intercessors and pray. Why? Well, people say, why do I got to do that? I said, what's Jesus doing? What's Jesus doing right now? What is he doing? He's sitting in heaven and he's interceding that you and I would get to know our God. That's what he's up to. That's what Jesus is up to. If intercession is good enough for Jesus, then it better be good enough for me. It has to become a lifestyle. And intercession is different than saying prayers, praying prayers, and becoming prayer. Intercession is literally meeting with your God, waiting with on your God, waiting, getting in the presence of your God, and asking your God, Father, what is upon your heart that I need to pray in agreement with you? In agreement with you. Do you know why? Because if it's on his heart and we're praying it and it's in agreement with him, guess what? We heard it from him. Guess what he is going to do? He'll move heaven and earth to do it because that's what he wants to do. And all he does is he's looking for some folks that are willing to do it. And hang in there. Like Steve said, we used to meet with this group over at Louise Foska's place. She started praying for the Tri-Cities in 1944 when they were building the bomb. Her husband is one of the old boys that worked on the bomb. And she had this prayer meeting forever. And we used to have, 10, 12, 14 people come every week and pray. And she didn't quit. She kept going. She kept going. You keep going. You don't quit. You keep hammering on heaven. You keep pounding on heaven. You keep crying out to God. Our whole deal, the ways of God, keep crying out, keep crying out, keep crying out. Don't quit. We have to learn his ways, walk in his ways, understand his ways. And these are the methods we're going to use. Worship, praise, waiting, watching, prayer. You can even throw the other one in there. We don't talk about much. It's called fasting. People, I can fast. I'll fast hamburgers or something. You know what I mean? I'll give up my TV show, my favorite TV show. That's okay. But, serious people fast 2-3 days a week. Is it going to hurt us? No. See, we have to get a little more serious about this. There's a book written back in the mid 80s by a guy named Foster. Foster wrote a book called The Celebration of Disciplines. And that's one of the most powerful books I've ever read. And to tell that to people in the church that they were going to have to get disciplined. Come on. Well, today we're down the road quite a while, 25 years later, and people still don't want to get disciplined. But guess what? If you're going to know your God, I'll put it to you this way. If you really want to know your God and his ways, you're going to have to discipline your life. What do you think? Is that what you signed up for? I hope so. It's a fun life. It's a fun life. Paying the price isn't that hard. It hurts sometimes. All of us that have paid the price, that have gone through this for a long time, guess what? All of us have been kicked. A lot of us have been beat down. We've been laughed at, rejected, everything. But you know what? We just keep smiling. Just keep smiling and praising God. Right, Steve? Yeah. Huh? What'd you say? Amen. Right, Pam? They still got smiles on their faces. We know people that have gone through what they've gone through that have quit. Said, see you later, baby. I ain't having any more of this deal. A lot of us have felt like quitting. Hello? Am I going to walk into the prayer closet and tell my father I'm quitting? I might want to say it, but I won't. Neither will you. Because once that Holy Spirit begins brooding over you, he begins stirring in you, he begins calling you, and he begins drawing you, and you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit, guess what will happen? You're done. You're cooked. You're going for it. And you're not going to quit. Nothing is going to separate you from that love of the Father. And God is love. You got to remember, God is love, and love is a spirit. God is a spirit. We have to get our spirits in tuned with the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just once, it's all the time. The Holy Spirit is always around us, and it's in us, and we have to get stirred up, and we've got to get filled with it all the time and keep it full. And we can't let anything distract us from that. Because there's two types of people in the church. There's two types of people, my opinion, that come to church. They come to church to get something, and there's those that come to church full of the Spirit that come to give something. There's two types, the takers and the givers. And we understand a little bit about the takers, because a lot of the new ones, a lot of the hurt ones, a lot of the wounded ones need the life. But as life is imparted into them, they have to take responsibility for what God is doing. In this day and age, with our culture and the way government and the way everything is run, that's tough. Because they keep coming back more and more. Gimme, 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 gimme. Pastor, pour it up. Take care of me. Take care of me. Come on. And as the pastor and the people preach life, guess what? They need to get the life. They need to get their life changed and get on with it, right? This isn't the welfare system. This is God's heart. It's the change system. God doesn't change, but we do. God does not change, but he's called us to change, right? You signed up to change, didn't you? Huh? Anybody sign up to change? Change? You want to change? You got to change. Because God doesn't change, and you're going to have to change. Because this world is changing, but God isn't changing. And the question is this world going to take God with him? Or is God going to take care of what he's going to take care of? Whose side do you want to be on? Is that sign on your door today? For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen? Yeah. So the other thing in the fruit of the Spirit is this whole deal about being kind and gentle. You know, you have to learn how to be kind, and you have to learn how to be gentle. Some people are hard rocks, and it's tough. But there's others, but God has a way of taking care of them and teaching them. It's his way, and he's called us to live in it. Are we going to learn his ways? Is there a ministry team here today? Yeah? You want to come forward, all the ministry folks? Who we got? Huh?
Anybody here? Nita, Karen, this one. Oh, Jeremy, Sarah, Jim.
Oh, they're not here. Who? So if you're used to being on a ministry team, come on up. We need some more. We got a few on vacation this week. Come on. We need you all here. Yeah. Good. Now, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray because I believe God wants to move mightily today. So right now, we're going to pray. Father, right now, just come. Holy Spirit, begin to stir in the hearts of all your sons and daughters here today, Lord. And God, I pray you just begin to move and let them know today how much you love them. That this message was right out of your heart. You want each and every one of them to produce life, light, light, life, and love, Lord. So let it come. Bring that. If you're here today and the Lord's stirring in you, you need help, need healing, you need a touch in your body, you got stuff going on and you just need him, I just pray that you come forward and let these people touch you and pray for you and encourage you. So, Father, we just ask you to just release the Holy Spirit in power in our lives today. And, Father, we're thankful that we can gather with our brothers and sisters and just love them and be with them, Lord. Bless everything that's said and done here. Amen.